Well, it's a pleasure to be with you on A9 television here in Istanbul, Turkey. I'm Larry Greenfield. I'm fellow in American Studies at the Claremont Institute in California and senior fellow of the American Freedom Alliance. I'm the founding executive director of the Reagan Legacy Foundation. I'm active in American politics. I write and lecture and speak about American foreign policy. I served in U.S. Naval Intelligence in San Diego, California. And I'm interested in global politics and the support and success of American foreign policy.
Mr. Greenfield, it was a great pleasure and honor to have you. And since you're an expert of the politics, and there are a lot of problems, radicalism, extremism, bloodshed, terrorism exist in the Middle East, for example. There are tensions and internal conflicts in Egypt, in Jordan, Tunisia, Syria, Iran, wherever we look, and tensions between Israel and Palestine. So what do you think could be the solution, and a global solution, to all these wars and the bloodshed?
I'm actually pleased to share with you that I have some good news. Even though we've had 50 to 100 years of recent turmoil and conflict in the Middle East, the rise of the internet and global communications and technology means that citizens throughout the Arab Middle East and the broader Muslim world now have access to information, ideas, so there will be a competition of ideas such that the Muslim world will not only hear news and information and ideas from government-controlled media. Just like the Berlin Wall came down, East Germans had seen West Germans having a better life. So I think the Arab Spring, in part, recently was inspired by information getting into the Arab world, young people on Facebook and Twitter. I also think the good news is what you're doing, which is sharing the information and the truth that there's a better way, a deeper way, and a truthful way to discuss the Quran and the practice, law, and ideology of Islam that is not radicalized or violent. So, the world is getting smaller and more informed. Youth are talking to each other all over the world. And there are voices of moderation and secularism and modernity and friendship and love and tolerance and peace within Islam. And that's news to a lot of Americans who are correctly deeply concerned by and opposed to radical Islam, which of course came so violently to the West and to the United States.
Yes. You're from United States. Americans are very nice people, highly educated, and majority is very religious, sincere, clean, very nice people, we know that. So to solve the problems in the Middle East, and Turkey, first of all, needs Israel. Israel is not our natural ally. We love Jews. At the time of the Ottoman Empire, we brought our Jewish brothers and sisters from Spain, and their descendants of the prophets and their forefathers lived in Israel. Of course, they had the right, according to the Quran also, to live in Israel. Israel will exist. But we need alliance with Israel, and Israel needs Turkey. I don't think there is a conflict between Israeli nation with Turkish people. There is no such thing. Israel is our natural ally. United States is our natural ally. To solve all these problems, radicalism and extremism, our alliance is very important.
I thank you for teaching and explaining this positive history of the Turkish people and the Ottoman Empire and the modern Turkish state, toward Jews and toward, in fact, the state of Israel. I see that there's trade between Israelis and Turks. You're in the same region. Israeli technology can come, and manufacturing can be a platform here in Turkey to sell products around the world. The Turks are sophisticated. They live in a very interesting strategic location. Many interesting neighbors. many different trade routes, many points of connection they had over hundreds of years through the Ottoman Empire with many different people. And therefore, the Israelis have an interest in befriending Turkey, in recognizing there's a Jewish presence in Turkey and has been for a long time, and in celebrating Turkey's role as a secular, modern, Muslim majority, almost completely Muslim country, with a few Jews and a few Christians and a few ethnic minorities, who are accepted, who are treated with respect in Turkey. May that continue. And I realize there have been tensions and difficulties in the relationship, particularly recently, between the Turkish government and Israel. But I think those are solvable. And the longer-term strategic interest for Israel and Turkey to be friends is very clear. Neither of you supports radical Islam. Neither of you wants tension in the region. Both of you want economies to rise. Both of you want to trade. Both of you want good friendship with the United States and the West. Essentially, although you're both sort of in the Middle East and sort of in Asia, you're both European countries with roots in Europe, and you're modern. And so there are many other reasons too, including a spiritual reason, which is that the Turks seem to have an understanding. You mentioned this very much, that there's a shared Abrahamic faith between Jews, Christians, and Muslims. This is a very wise and a very sophisticated and a very subtle point. And it takes a big heart for people from all different sides to really understand what you mean when you say that.
Yes, definitely. I mean, the alliance of three Abrahamic religions is crucial to bring peace, democracy, freedom of thought, and freedom of worship. It is a very powerful unity against radicalism and extremism. And not only that, not only economically, but Israelis, they have the right not only to live in Israel, in the Holy Land, with Christians and Muslims together all in peace, but they should be able to come to Turkey, to go to Jordan, where Abraham, peace be upon him, lived, or to Egypt, wherever they would like to. So alliance of Israel is very crucial, and Egypt actually will join that alliance also, this unity with independent countries, and then other Muslim countries will follow. And after that, there will be no radicalism and extremism. The things happening in Syria will stop. Iran will change their mindset. And there will be problems in other Muslim countries will also stop with this powerful unity.
Well, I recognize there's quite a lot of diversity within the Muslim world. Turkey, Azerbaijan, the Balkans, other majority Muslim nations have every opportunity for alliance with the West, trade with the West already, and host ethnic minorities in their countries. Then there's the ring around Israel. Jordan is a friend of Israel. Lebanon used to be a peaceful and prosperous nation, majority Christian at one point, I believe. Now it's troubled, and Hezbollah is there. Syria has trouble. Egypt has trouble now with the Muslim Brotherhood government, but there are hints that Egypt, which is having trouble economically, and maybe because of Turkey as a mentor and example, might keep the peace with Israel, might tilt toward the West. I hope Egypt would open up, not oppress the Christians there. Relax, not oppress the women, open up their economy. What I saw in Tahrir Square were young people demanding democracy. Where are they now? We want them to succeed. We want civil society to grow in Cairo and in Egypt, in Alexandria, so that they have real democratic elections, real reform, real freedom of the press. The other day in Egypt, they arrested a comedian. That's a bad sign. So there are elements, of course, in the Arab world which are not free, not democratic, not good friends with the United States and the West. Can it change? I think so, over time. I don't know how long. but communism was 70-year long twilight struggle against the United States, the Cold War. Communism fell. Okay, there's still a few communist professors on American campuses, but basically communism no more. Except China, which is capitalist and communist at the same time, giving everybody a headache. Radical Islam can be overcome. I do believe it.
And we're doing a very powerful intellectual struggle against radicalism. And let me give you some glad tidings. And Egyptian politicians, representatives of the Freedom and Justice Party from Muslim Brothers were here as the guests of Mr. Adnan Oktar, and they are willing to have more democracy and freedom of thought and better situation, and also they are willing to they are looking for unity with Turkey. So this will, but this unity definitely needs Israel. Israel cannot be excluded. Turkey needs Israel, definitely. Their natural ally, Israel. So this powerful unity, and other Muslim countries will follow. Russia cannot resist that kind of unity. Greece, the Balkan countries, mm-hmm. they cannot resist that kind of unity. It will be a very powerful unity with democracy, wealth, progress in science, technology, and arts, and with the, of course, support of the United States. Then it will bring, definitely be bring peace to entire world.
I had an idea, and then I found out it wasn't an original idea, but I did think of a regional economic union. Turkey, of course, applied to join the European Union. It wanted to ascend to the European Union. Maybe Turkey got lucky because the European Union, the Eurozone, had a crisis while Turkey's economy over the last decade grew. Turkey is 76 million or so people, very strong country, big, experienced, surrounded by water, excellent trade routes, educated people, sophisticated. Therefore, Turkey is attractive to everybody in the region. And if Turkey helps form and lead an economic zone in the Middle East, maybe even from North Africa, and maybe even a little bit east across the Black Sea into parts of Central Asia. So there's an Asian piece too. That can be very powerful. It could be a great trading zone. By the way, very populated. So it's its own market. And it has energy resources. And it has high tech, including Israeli high tech. And great manufacturing. And access to ports. Wow, Turkey can become the center of, if not a European Union, a Euro-Asian, Middle Eastern Union.
Yes, and since you have been here, we have seen in the Turkish nation and in the entire Islamic world, your sincerity, your wisdom, and you represent the United States, you have and you're an expert of the politics, and your peaceful, beautiful, peaceful messages went into our hearts and brains in the entire Islamic world. Can we have your last messages? And it's a great honor and pleasure, actually, to have here. And you represent the United States, actually, with your personality. And Americans are very nice people, we know that. But we have seen practically in your personality.
Well, that's very kind. Çok memnun oldum. I'm honored to be in Turkey. I am respectful of the Turkish-Ottoman history. I'm respectful of the nation-state of Turkey. And I'm respectful of a majority Muslim nation which is very wise and sophisticated and clever because it recognizes the different pieces of Turkey, the cultural pieces, the religious pieces, the trading pieces. It picked up food and art and culture. I visited all over Istanbul, for example. Beautiful city and a good spirit. By the way, for a crowded city, a very lovely place. I saw smiles in Turkey. Turkey is a rising star. And diplomats and investors and traders might grab a hold of that star and hang on tight. So I reciprocate your kind feelings. The American people are a wonderful people, a freedom-loving people who believe in religious liberty and tolerance and free enterprise and free nations. Turkey showed me it believes in religious liberty. It believes in free enterprise. And it is a strong and proud free nation, which makes Turkey our friend, and you certainly are my friend.
Definitely. I mean, we're looking forward to your coming back as our guest again, and inshallah. And we believe in we're living in a very specific times, and good days are coming, definitely. These are like painful contractions before the birth. All these wars and terrorism, it will end up by good people coming together, actually, with wisdom like yourself, for example. And we also believe that it is time for the King Messiah. So peace will come, democracy will come, freedom of thought, freedom of worship. So all these things will be over. But what matters is what we do.
Well, I thank you again. You're a very spiritual and kind-hearted person. I felt warmly hosted in Turkey. I feel there's some special graciousness. I definitely know what it means now to be received as an honored guest, and I look forward to welcoming you in California, in the United States of America, and reciprocate. And I hope to be back, and thank you again.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Great pleasure and honor to have you.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you.